Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to Giles Corran Has No Idea. It's called this not because I literally know nothing, but because it's all about the moment in the week when I have to sit down and write my column but have absolutely no idea what to write it about, which is where my wife Esther comes in, who, having read all the papers whilst I take the kids to school, always has half a dozen ideas picked out for me when I get back to be discussed at the kitchen table over a nice cup of coffee. You've read the Daily Mail today and I haven't.
I read the Daily Mail faithfully every day.
It's the ladies' paper. We get the Times for Daddy and we get the Daily Mail for Mummy. And you're laughing because it's true.
Well.
And it's open, but I'm sure that's not down to you. The posh guy from Love Island?
Oliver Williams, who I've wanted to talk about for a while, but you slightly rejected this.
Because you fancy
him? No, because I wanted to make...
Not even despite his lovely abs he's got there and his pants and his, you can just see the top of his willy.
That looks to me just like dehydration more than anything else. He just hasn't drunk water and just looks weird like that. No, he's quite a strange character, this sort of toff-ish character. He claims to be the heir to some house that the National Trust has gone, nope, he is definitely,
really?
Yes.
What, like Kenwood House?
No, it's very funny. Yes, it is.
The Tower of London?
Yeah, exactly. Buckingham Palace, that's mine. So he claims to be the heir of, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Llanhidrwc in Cornwall. The famous house...
Llanhidrwc.
Llanhidrwc in Cornwall.
Llanhidrwc.
No, that's Welsh.
It's the Celtic fringe. It's the same language.
It isn't, darling.
Basically, is
Welsh and the old Brittany language is quite similar, but I don't think Cornish is. Or maybe it isn't. Should we ring my mum quickly?
And ask her in Welsh.
I can't, but alas, she couldn't be bothered.
Fascinating fact people don't always know. Esther's mother is such a barefoot, grubby Welsh hill peasant that she didn't speak English until she was 16. 16.
Or have electricity or a telephone.
Yeah, and I've seen, and then when she goes back to Wales and she speaks Welsh to them, they don't understand because she speaks 1950s Welsh.
She does. She goes back and she says things like, it sounds completely mad to them, like, oh, good morning, dear sir. Could you pass me thine bag?
Because there's a pronunciation change after Welsh got stamped out and then brought back. So she goes and says, and they go, it's not pronounced like that anymore. Now we say, anyway, you can address your letters from Wales to the Times.
Oliver Williams claims to be the heir to this very famous house and gardens, but the National Trust have said, no, actually, we own them.
But this isn't the worst thing about him. So he's lied about whether he's posh or not. No. But it says, I've noticed the story because I saw the thing that he goes hunting. And now he's left because he doesn't like being criticised or they've thrown him off.
Well, there's a huge... He was pictured posed with these... With a dead sable antelope. Which
is not
shot
a lion or something.
It's not a lion. And even if... The thing about big game hunting in Africa is that... All estates everywhere that have animals on them, they do need to be culled. And when you see one of these people taking a photo next to a lion or an elephant or anything, it will have been something managed by, they're not called estates, they're called...
I notice our cat is climbing up to object to the possibility that it could possibly be okay.
I'm just trying to make a very, very carefully worded point that the really, really gross, horrible thing is that they have their picture taken with it. So a picture, I don't think he posted it. I think a picture emerged of him posing next to this dead sable antelope that he had shot somewhere in Africa. And Twitter obviously went completely bananas. Ofcom received 467 complaints about his inclusion in the programme.
So why has he left?
Well, nobody's quite sure. So there's 40,000 people signed a petition demanding his ejection over this trophy hunting thing. But he has said, I've got to leave Love Island because I'm still in love with my ex-girlfriend.
Oh, he's lying.
Mr. Knopfer. That would Mr. be a that Ooh. Would be a turn up for the books. No, Miss Noffer. I don't know what her name. Miss something.
I think the only way of writing a column about it would be it's Escape from Love Island. It's like
Well, it's out of the frying pan and into the fire. He is just the most hated person. Well, on Twitter now.
Yeah.
No one else.
Now that I'm not on Twitter.
Now that you're not on Twitter, he's the most hated person on Twitter
because I didn't even know about any of this.
Really don't like killing animals on Twitter.
Nor does poor Iris.
No, Iris isn't into it either.
Now, people listening in black and white may not be able to see. Well, they'll have noticed. Ben, have you noticed anything? What have you noticed about the cat community here in the house?
There's only one of them.
There's only one of them.
We're down to one.
Do you know why there's only one? Should we talk about why there's only one? I suddenly realised what it sounds like. Wait, Mo Tenzing is not dead.
Mo Tenzing is not
dead. Sorry, your faces both fell. No, Mo Tenzing, there's only one. I would have said, I'd have said it so jovially, I'd have cancelled the fucking podcast. I'd be in mourning. I'd be sitting shiver as a Jew, receiving people in the house and eating little egg rolls and saying, I wish you a long life.
No, that sounds quite nice.
It's lovely. Once the death is over, Jews have a terrific time. The Irish too.
There is only one cat.
There's only one cat because Mo Tenzing is not dead. But he has gone somewhere and he's going to come back later. And depending on how well we communicate it, maybe it's worse than death. Can you imagine what it might be? Yes, the little scissor gesture. you tell them, Esther, where you have sent my cat, my little boy.
I have taken Mo Tenzing to the vet to be castrated. And
I'm trying not to think about
it. Very sad about it. When I even mooted it a few months ago, I said it in a perfectly jolly way. Well, of course, Mo Tenzing will have to, be neutered.
We're not doing it to the girl, I notice.
Well, no, because we're going to have kittens from Iris, because she's going to make the most amazing mum. And I've already got, takers for the kittens, all of them. And they're going to go to, amazing homes. So,
My little Mo Tenzing.
I'm afraid your little Mo Tenzing, unless he has this operation, will quite soon not be little Mo Tenzing. He will be, giant, great, big, huge, massive Mo Tenzing.
Speaking as the spokesman for the men in this house.
Yes.
Have you any plans to neuter anyone else? Just Sam is going to...
I have thought, no. Well, I think that, it does... neutering does different things for different species. But I don't know. Darling, have you thought maybe it might be quite peaceful? A certain operation or
not
a vasectomy, because a vasectomy doesn't sort of change your personality, but does just, act,
does she have my nuts off? But if you have my nuts off, because I was this would make a column,
yeah,
but it
man spreading
exactly, you wouldn't have to get air on your nuts, because I've often defended man spreading because as long as you don't inconvenience anyone to your left or right,
sorry Giles, it is not possible to not inconvenience people on your left and right.
Look, I'm not inconveniencing anyone on my left and right now.
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know what I mean? I'm sitting here.
Do you...
And I don't care whether you have to, yes, on the tube, it's terrible, and women have to sort of cower on one side, and they ought to be more gentlemanly, and they ought to create the space. Boris was shown, in pictures.
Oh, he always does that. He sits
great
properly,
big nuts, which should probably be taken off. Yeah. And the thing is, and I have tried to defend it. You do have nuts, and some of us have, we all have different sizes of nuts. And depending on, you do.
Are you trying to tell us all that your nuts are unusually huge?
No, I'm not saying that's for you to say.
Do you remember that story you told me about when you went to that bullfight? You went to interview all those bullfighters, and you said they all genuinely had absolutely ginormous nuts.
No, I went to, El Padilla, I can't remember his surname, Padron, El Padilla, the bravest bullfighter in all Spain. He carried on bullfighting after one had torn out his eye with a horn and no longer had any depth perception, just carried on fighting, got gored all the time. The unspoken thing was, he's not very good at bullfighting. But everyone came to watch him because he was so, so fucking brave. And I went to interview him and talk to him and stuff and went behind him and he was changing. And he had nuts the size of watermelons. And I thought, how fantastic to see that the bravest man in all Spain actually does have...
But how sort of tragic in a way that he's being propelled by
his giant nuts to stand in front of bulls.
Exactly. It's just
like Boris by his giant nuts,
it's
propelled
just
to take us out of
it's
the European
madness.
Union.
It's like Kingsley Amis says, being unchained from a lunatic. It is maybe it's the kindest thing to lop your nuts off.
Dog podcast?
I couldn't possibly be less interested in that story.
Fuck off. This is, look, Pet Sounds podcast to help lonely dogs relax. Or what do dogs want to hear? Or maybe meow.
Yeah.
Do you think we could expand
what
our listenership?
What they want to hear is walkies.
That's bad. Because these are dogs that are left teasing at home by owners who shouldn't have bought dogs in the first place.
They didn't have time to look after them.
The dogs are alone at home. Maybe they get walked by some dog walker. And so they put these podcasts on that are 5 hours long. If you put walkies, this dog's going to stand up and start running around in circles because they're so fucking stupid, just because we're a cat family. but I was listening to these dogs and they're 5 hours long. Call the Midwife, Jessica Rain is in it. And Ralph Ineson, best known as Finchy from The Office. That means nothing to me.
No.
I think he's probably best known as the dog podcast guy. So Ineson, for example, this actor, he voices one that says, and this is what dogs are hearing when their owners are out. I'd stay here and stroke you all day long if I could. I mean, first of all, I mean, they're a different kind of, you know what I'm saying? Podcast.
Sorry,
forget that. I'd stay here and stroke you all day long if I could. It makes me so happy to start the day off seeing your happy face. They think dogs want to hear.
And
they
go out for 9 hours and then
dogs
come back
who
later.
Can't speak English. Yeah. The messages of dog-directed praise recorded by Rain out of the Midwife are, if anything, even more fawning. You're so lovely and vigilant, and I really appreciate that, she tells them. You just take it easy today. This is your chance for some well-earned me time. I mean, that's a fucking ridiculous thing to say to a human.
Dog me time. It wants you time. And ball time in the park time.
Do the dogs have headphones? I mean, do the dogs commute? Do the dogs go up to the park and they have their headphones on so they can then do some exercise so they can they don't get bored? I had never listened to a podcast in my life before I started making this podcast, and I still don't really understand. I never hear other podcasts. I still don't know when you're meant to listen to it. Except commuting. Commuting and doing the housework is when you have it. Dogs do neither of those things. Why don't we do a dog podcast anyway? That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to.
Walkies. Okay. What about the girl? I had a joke that I just wanted to make, but I don't know if we can get away with it. I mean, it's just the thought I thought was funny and you laugh. There's a girl who literally falls down laughing. There's a young woman in the papers yesterday, and she's got some condition. But when she laughs, she literally passes out. And she said that when it goes about her social life, she tries to
Billy Hodgson, 17. A sixth form student from Sheffield suffers from cataplexy, and any strong emotion can bring on the effects. Describing herself as a bubbly person, she says, feeling like I can't laugh is really strange. So she has a rare brain condition that causes her to collapse when she laughs.
And it says that what she does is she tries to not make friends with people who are too funny. I think to keep body and mind together, she just spends a lot of time listening to Radio 4 comedy. Ba-boom! That's what I'm saying. Hang out with Marcus Bridgestock, you'll be fine.
Thanks.
Anyway.
She's got the News Quiz podcast on.
Yeah, exactly.
To le temps. So she's wandering around listening to The Now Show.
Yeah, this guarantees a kill. Any laughter there could have been in the house.
It all depends
whether Ben wants to work for BBC at any point, really, whether he puts that in, isn't it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on the Times Radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I had two stories here that I don't know why I wrote them down, but I thought that they were both interesting. No, wait. You had other good ones.
We've got a really good one that we'll come to in a bit, but I'm saving it.
Okay.
But I've just noticed there's a double-sworded edged thing.
Yeah.
It's Grexit.
This is the Greg story.
I mean, there's a number of different things. There's the fact that it's Grexit, and we've just had
Megxit. And Brexit.
And Brexit wasn't the first one.
Grexit was the first one, and that never happened.
The Greek leaving,
Megxit,
everything
and now
is
Grexit.
But the story is about it's Grexit. They don't want to have Greg's has the only Greg's in Cornwall has closed down.
Because, why? Because Cornish people don't like grapes.
Cornish people do like pies, I think they is
like,
the point about.
No, they like pasties.
They like pasties.
And they, so what is it? Is the story, but they, is it, sorry.
Grapes may assume near total domination, but the country's, as the country's largest bakery chain, but in Cornwall, its vegan sausage rolls have been rejected by connoisseurs of the county's pasties.
Oh, sorry. So this is protectionary.
The High Street Baker set up its first corner. It's closed down. It was described as junk by the locals. I like a nice Cornish made pasty, thank you. Arr. Cornish people because, will keep supporting their local bakeries, I am sure.
Because everyone from Cornwall
Richard
is
Bickford,
a pirate.
Richard Bickford, town council. Well, they're all pirates, yeah.
Town council slash pirate.
They are.
Well, Cornish pasty is...
We know where it comes from. Where does it come from? Tell us the story of the Cornish pasty.
It comes from miners taking a Cornish pasty.
Tin mines, yeah.
Tin mines. Cornish tin mines, as made famous in that show with Aidan Turner where he takes his shirt off all the time.
I haven't seen it. Pole dancer. Yeah, I know the one.
And
you wrap up the pie in the thing and you put the meat at one end and the dessert at the other end.
What? Do you?
I think you put something sweet at the other end if you're
right?
If you're the tin miner's wife. And it's, yeah.
Oh, Ben's they don't nodding. Yeah, everyone's nodding except me.
And then you wrap it in the pastry and then the pastry sort of keeps it.
Keeps it warm and also keeps your dirty tin miney hands off your food.
Off the food. And you're probably not really meant to eat the crust, possibly.
No, but I think they've changed it.
You probably shouldn't eat the inside either if you know what's good for you.
Well, I mean, the inside is beef, isn't it? Where no one should be eating beef. It's basically beef and a few vegetables.
It'll be sheep. They
and
don't
a
really,
lot of pepper.
Historically in Cornwall, crappy land.
It'd be mutton, won't it?
It'd be a mutton pie.
Originally, mutton and a few vegetables.
So the last thing that they want is a Greg's Cornish pasty. Although, should we talk about me eating vegan?
Well, Greg's is a sort of like a weird phenomenon. There's a Greg's on our high street, Kentish Town, and I'm...
Have you ever been in?
No, I've never been in because I'm a Pret girl myself, but I go past quite a lot and it's always incredibly busy.
Is it full of pirates?
No, it's not full of pirates. There is I would say the demographic is really very, very mixed. There's a lot of high-vis jackets in there, but there are also a lot of... You know, office people.
Do you think the high-vis jackets are pie inspectors? Are they? So they're Cornish pasty police. They've gone in to make sure. I had never been in there either until this week, and I kept seeing all the stuff about their vegan sausage roll, and there was a thing about their vegan steak bake, and I'm trying to be vegan until 6 p.m., you know, for two meals a day in order to save the planet because I read a book that suggested it was a good idea. And it's quite hard. You know, I make myself bananas on toast here or whatever with butter, with margarine instead of butter or whatever. But then, you know, we go for lunch down for our vegan which we've talked about here before. And then it's, you know, what else can we have? And I haven't previously gone into Greg's because I've mostly been a carb dodger. That's been my, like, my food dodge to try and not be too fat as a restaurant critic. Was like, don't eat. And Greg's is just carbs. But I went in the other day thinking I'll try this vegan thing. I went in to get the vegan steak bake. Went in about sort of 11 o'clock. There was a massive queue.
Yeah.
They didn't have the steak bake. They said they're so popular, they've all sold out by 9 o'clock in the morning. You have to come before 9. I don't want a fucking steak bake, vegan steak, corn steak bake for breakfast. So I can have a sausage roll. That's really popular as well. The vegan sausage roll, that's really popular as well. But we can put one in. It'll be 9 minutes. And so I waited. And, you know, the thing about the bit, they were a more diverse and interesting bunch in Greg's than they were in McDonald's.
Yeah.
The customers and staff alike did not have that. They didn't look as miserable. The Greg's staff didn't have that kind of hangdog indentured labour look that they have in McDonald's.
No.
Like they're all sort of wearing shackles and tags and it's either breaking rocks or flipping, you know, Big Macs. They were chatting on there. They were going, oh, they're so great. And I said, so what's the vegan sausage roll like? Do you know, it tastes just like the normal sausage roll. And I thought, she probably means that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And then they delivered it to me. And they said, okay, well, you can, I'll pay for it now. And they said, okay, that'll be £1.
£1.
And I went, what? Nothing costs £1. Lunch doesn't cost £1. And I paid my £1 and I thought, fuck, how can I pass judgment on a thing that costs £1?
Yeah.
There is no meal isn't good value for £1. £1 is fine.
Mm.
And then they handed it over and I took a bite and it was nammy nammy.
Yeah.
The pastry was sort of light and flaky and then it tasted like it tasted just like a very cheap sausage roll.
Yeah.
I was taken back to Queen's Park Rangers, Loftus Road Stadium, 1991. Famously, the best sausage rolls in England. It was the only reason anybody would possibly go and watch QPR. You would get they cost £3 for the jumbo. You spent the remaining £2 from your fiver on betting on whoever was the visiting team to win. So usually your sausage roll was free. and I was taken right back to that. Then I dipped it into ketchup. Absolutely heavenly. I thought, this is really, really great. And the key thing about junk food is that the guilt that attaches, you know, not very nutritious calories. You're eating this thing. It's
what, how, what kind of life did this pig lead?
What kind of life did the pig have? The pig or the, I'm gonna say the dog. I mean, no, that's not that. I mean, you know, depending on where your fast food outlet is. Sausage roll is normally beef. So yeah, I mean, pork. So
pork,
that's
darling,
I don't know. I'm
not Burger,
so you eat this thing, and there's this sadness that you've eaten this thing that didn't need to die. You've had unnecessary trans fats.
Yeah,
none of that attaches to this vegan, which is perfectly tasty vegan sausage roll.
It was really tasty. I was stunned.
I brought one home. I thought, right, well, who do we know who's only ever had never had a plant based meal, never eaten anything that didn't contain meat? Our children. They just, and particularly Sam, burgers, sausage rolls, pizza with pepperoni on it. Bolognese, meatballs, steak. They like steak, rare, bloody. Just slap
chicken if you must.
Carve it off the horse's arse and throw it on the plate. Mustard. And I brought it back. Sam, after football, quite sort of, you know, tired and hungry, sat down, sausage roll, plonked it, did his usual quart of ketchup, dipped it, ate it. Well, how's that good, Sam? He said 374 out of 10.
Yes, and he did say that. Yeah.
Kitty down the other end of the table.
Bit more discerning.
Doesn't take ketchup. Yeah, 7. But like 7 out of 10 from her. So this is completely
sold. And she finished it.
Will be getting it once a week. I will be having it once a week. It seems to me, obviously, it's not as delicious as proper fresh tasty food, but, you know, cooked at home, you know, by yourself or whatever. But if you're going to be eating something on the hoof, because you need to eat something, because otherwise you're going to pass out.
Yeah.
You're something you literally eat standing up next to the bin you plan to throw the wrapper in.
Yeah.
It should be
vegan.
It
might as well be vegan,
Yeah. Cuts to the next day, went back for the vegan steak and bake. Also delicious. £1.55, I said. Well, I can get a vegan sausage roll for £1. But this one has corn in it. It's in partnership with corn. I'm not being paid by Greggs yet. And I ate this pie, and this tasted really, really meaty.
Right.
It was all sort of brown and slippery. And it was every bit as delicious as a school meat pie.
It wasn't like
the sausage rolls at...
The
Pollenast pub down the road. Have I got sweaty armpits? You look glance at me.
God, you are observant, darling.
Well, I'm wearing a light blue t-shirt.
No,
I'm sweating with the thrill of talking about Greggs. You glance at my pits.
I'm sorry.
I know that you're not appraising my musculature for sexual shenanigans. Oh, look, there it is. It's wet. Ate this... So it's not a sausage roll like the one at the Ginger Pig.
Yeah.
Where they basically take an entire family of well-raised hogs and they chop them up and mince them down into a little... And then they eat it and it's all glossy and your hair shines for a week after it and you can't even finish it.
Yeah.
But it was delicious. And the steak and bake had this sort of corny flavour. £1.55, pretty good.
Historically, the problem with eating vegetarian or vegan food on the hoof has been it either comes with a fork and you have to sit there and there's a plastic container and you're just thinking, or it comes with loads of bread. And you think, I don't want to eat loads of bread. So the vegan Greggs thing has the benefit of having no wheat in it.
Apart from the massive amounts of pastry wrapped around it. But you could...
Some wheat
in it. They could make it without pastry. They could make the vegan sausage roll with no pastry. It'd be a carrot.
But it's something
I thought you were going to do a great joke there. You said the thing about eating vegetarian food on the hoof, which of course, if you've got hooves, you really are having a vegetarian diet, aren't you?
You are, that's 100%, yeah. But that may explain why it's so popular. It's a thing that you can eat on the hoof without needing a fork, and it's vegan, and it's just not got loads of bread. And it's not kind of, because also a takeaway sandwich is all cold and slimy and it's all got big.
Whereas I imagine, what I don't know to check, I mean, I could find out the price of it. Do you think it's probably, if it's cheaper than a vegan sausage roll, if it's cheaper than the Greggs normal sausage roll, then that's great. Because that may be why it's so Greggs sausage roll price, he Googles. Boris gets price of a Greggs sausage roll massively wrong on live radio. The millionaire Tory leader claimed the hot treat cost £1.90, despite even the Westminster branch in expensive central London charging £1.20. That's from the Daily Mirror on November the 29th. It's a fucking outrage. Knows nothing. Doesn't have any children he's got. Doesn't know the price of a Greggs sausage roll.
He was only
70p out. And he couldn't fucking believe it would only cost £1.
Yeah.
They'd ask me, I'd have said like £12.
Yeah.
It'd be terrible. So it's 20p cheaper.
20p cheaper than the regular one.
It's a single coin transaction.
Yeah, and no pigs were harmed.
No pigs. I think the payoff to this story is that the Cornish are missing a trick,
as
usual. Actually, sorry, they're fine, the Cornish. There's no need to upset the Cornish. They're great people.
I don't want a load of pirates at my door.
Yeah, you can either go to Padstow.
I like
and
pirates.
You can either go to Padstow, as we did to Rick Stein's, and have a little piece of turbot for £750.
Yeah.
Or you can have a Greg's vegan sausage roll for £1, fully endorsed by the Giles Corran Has No Idea podcast.
On
brought to you by Greg's.
Kentish Town. High Street.
Yeah.
What better place? There is a great story that I think is really, really suitable for you, which is about how the midlife crisis is a real thing, and it ends when you.
No, that's not the story. Tell me the story. What the thing that says in the story? It says the worst year in your life is 37.
No, it doesn't.
But it
does. No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I hate you. It says.
I hate you, and that's because I'm not 47 anymore. So I'm a piece of myself.
Give me the fucking paper.
Well, all right then. Don't just.
No, it actually
you
says.
Pulled out the Times. No, I'm holding the paper you want. No, that's also the Times.
It's in the Times.
Right. Well, I saw Sam Lee's piece in the Daily Mail about it. It's the wrong Daily Mail. I want the Wednesdays. Whoever finds it first wins.
Wins what?
Whoever finds it first
doesn't have to make dinner.
No, look, the story is it's the Sam Lee thing and it's... Ha! 47 really is...
No, but what's
47
the
really is the worst age of all.
Right, listen, okay. People in their 40s who have seen their blah, 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 it gets worse until you are 47.2 years old. The good news, however, is that you then turn a corner and start... Okay, so I can see how you... Well, we're both right, because what I said was that the midlife crisis is a real thing and it starts when you approach 40 or thereafter, and it gets worse until you are 47.2 years old and then you turn a corner and then it's better.
Is that your experience that 47
I don't know,
everything
I'm not,
improves?
I'm not 47 yet.
No, but do you know someone who is?
I mean, I
passed 47. I'm 50.2 pretty much. So
you are.
3 years ago, have I got much better and nicer and easier to live with and more fun?
You have, but you also
I have.
You also, but you yes, but you also went back to your shrink at about 47.2.
Oh yeah.
So, and that I think is probably that I you know how important I think your shrink is in your life. So I feel like that was probably, but I think it's quite possible that I sent you back to your shrink.
But so look, what about a sort of a chart of just why every age is the worst? Is that a thing?
There's an awful lot not to recommend about any age that you are. And you're always quite good about why it's crap being 7, why it's crap being 17, why it's crap being 23.
It's crap being 7.
And you could do it. You could veer off into the weirdly specific, which might be quite funny.
15 is terrible because your mates are starting to, you know, and you're still a virgin. 16 is really bad because you're still a virgin. 17, you're still a fucking virgin.
Yeah.
Tell you about 18, I'm still a fucking virgin. 19 is great.
I think you should.
But that's like, then what does it come to? Then you have a couple of shags, then you get married. And it's great! And then it's just like being a virgin again.
Yeah.
Just go back to not having sex, just the same as it was.
Basically, all I know is that there
in
are.
In your case, it's like it's anything with Tom Hardy in or an episode of that Marines thing.
I've gone off
one
Tom
glass
Hardy.
Of white wine, but not two. Has to be exactly the right time of the month. The room has to be warm. The children have to be asleep. The cats have to be not here. You have to. Not like that! Right. Okay, fine. That's what it is. That's the recipe for
I have love. Never screamed
no,
not like that.
It's true. No, you haven't. You've never... I do. Like, careful!
And you didn't tell me.
You didn't touch me for years because I used to go, careful!
Well, you didn't tell me until we'd been married for probably 3 years that you're ticklish.
Well, no, you thought I was saying careful because I thought it was a bit obscene what you were trying to do.
You are ticklish everywhere.
No, it's like my thighs.
No.
It is. It's like my thighs are ticklish.
No, and also here.
I'm not especially ticklish there.
On your kind of... You are, darling, you are ticklish absolutely everywhere. Everywhere.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with Giles Corran and Esther Walker. It's a Times podcast produced by Ben Mitchell. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts to avoid ever missing an episode. If you want to find out what I wrote about in the end, there's a link to the column in the podcast description. And for the full live experience, you can tune into my radio show every Sunday night from 7 till 10 p.m. on Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.